Welcome to Small Bites Radio with Donato Marino and Derek Tim. We hope you're hungry.
Raw spaghetti you can eat with a spoon. Oh, SpaghettiOs.
Hit it.
Where's the beef?
Cookie.
He likes it.
Nothing for you. Nothing for you. Nothing for you.
Feed me more.
As long as I can have you here with me, I'd much rather be forever in blue jeans, babe.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, cats and dogs, I'm back. My name is Glenn Gross. I own Fat Jack's Barbecue in Williamstown, New Jersey now, and this is Small Bites on Wildfire Radio. So, yes, I am back, and here is Don. I'm turning it over to you.
Thank you, Glenn.
It's okay.
Good to see you again.
Same here.
Still have that face for radio.
Yes, I do.
And welcome to Wildfire Radio, Small Bites. I'm Donato Marino with DNL Coffee Service, Bean the Barista, co-owner of Terry's 2, 1541 Chester Pike, and turn it over to Derek Tim.
Derek Tim, BlueJeanFood.com, and man, the crew is back.
Yep,
it's sort of like the Three Amigos or Three Stooges, more
three
like
Stooges.
It.
Three Stooges more
like it.
Well, which one are you?
Well, who knows which one I am, but I know which one we are missing indeed, and I miss him dearly all the time.
The fourth Stooge?
It's been well over a month since we've talked to him, Don. And that would be John Howard.
He's been a busy guy.
You got it right.
New Jersey Monthly, and also the nightlife correspondent for the Courier Post, and that wonderful blog, Eating in SJ. How's it going, John? What's hot and heavy?
Evening, guys. How are you all doing this evening?
Excellent.
All right?
John.
Good, good. Well, let's talk about Franny Nick's. This is a new soul food restaurant opening near the Italian Market. That's the opening this Saturday, February 1st, taking over the space that was most recently a KDA restaurant. So out with the Cajun and in with soul comfort food such as fried whiting and meatloaf served with mac and cheese and yams and potato chip cookies that are made with Hers potato chips. And the name Franny Nick's comes from the chef's grandmother. This is all according to Eater Philly. I want to talk about Bodega Bar and Kitchen, which just opened this past weekend in Midtown Village. According to Philly Mag, this is a restaurant with a nightclub kind of vibe. Items on the menu include a pretzel-crusted pastrami chicken on a cheddar waffle and Nashville Hoctopus, which is you're removing the chicken from Nashville Hot Chicken and inserting octopus. So it's a fun menu, to say the least. Also mentioned The Goat, which is now open in Rittenhouse. This is another new bar from Fergie Carey, who just opened the Fairview in Fairmont. According to Philly Mag, the menu goes for comfort with Reuben hamburgers and braised short ribs, and we'll have vegetarian and vegan options as well. There are two bars in the restaurant serving beer, wine, cocktails, as well as ciders and hard seltzers. On the Jersey side, our friend Matt over at NJ Penn had two scoops to report on this past week. The folks who brought you the Boiling House in Cherry Hill will be opening a seafood-themed restaurant this spring at the Barclay Farm Shopping Center. And look for a summer opening for a new brick oven eatery in Haddon Heights from Joe Gentile, who already has local links and soon to be opening Tanner Brewing under his belt. So he's building a little mini empire over there in Haddon Heights. So you can always follow me on Twitter and Instagram at EatingSJersey, as well as on the South Jersey Food Scene website and Facebook page.
Awesome, John. Well, it was such a wonder to finally get to talk to you again. I missed you. I cried every day.
Good to hear you, John. I haven't heard you and talked to you in a while.
Yeah, Glenn, good to hear you as well.
And I know that John always loves when we tell him about the food that we had in studio. So I'm just going to read through it real quick. I'll read it as fast as your new segment. We had brisket tacos with red cabbage slaw, fire-roasted corn, and manga salsa, flour tortilla with burnt ends, rolls, brisket, pulled pork, ribs. And we also have, which we're going to get to a little later, cheesesteak egg rolls, roast pork egg rolls, chicken tenders, chips and guac, and chicken taquitos. How about that, John?
I hear him drooling.
That sounds okay.
Have a great night. We look forward to talking to you again. Thanks so
take
much,
easy,
John.
Johnny.
All right, well, we've heard from Glenn. He opened the show. It's sort of like riding a bike, isn't it, Glenn?
Yeah, once you learn how to do it, you want to forget it.
Yeah, well, we were happy that you were able to get that out of your system.
I got it out of my system.
I saw him itching his arms when he walked in studio, Don.
Well, that's the first thing I asked you when I walked in, isn't it?
He's that dry skin.
Don didn't even sit down yet. I said, Don, can I open the show?
But what's been going on, Glenn? Well, it's been a year since we've seen you. You handed the reins over to Don. He's been doing a good job. He's put the crown on his head.
Yep. Yep.
Big crown.
And that's just a pointy head. That's not a crown.
I have a little bit more hair than you do, so I have to, you know.
You do not. Stop.
Just a little bit.
Look at this.
I got fuzz.
Glenn.
I got
Glenn
fuzz.
And Don. Yeah. This is a radio show.
Oh, yeah.
No, sorry.
I was going to show everybody my hair. It didn't work. So, yeah. So, you guys all know we sold the Fat Jacks all in the Philly area. Still have the ones up in New York. And an opportunity, and I know I talked to you about this actually a year ago.
Yeah.
An opportunity came to us in Williamstown, New Jersey, in an old James Way Center. It used to be a Muscle Maker Grill, and it's next to a gym called Rush Fitness. And the place was closed, and I went to the landlord. I finally found out who it was. Went through about 3 months of negotiation with him, and we put a deal together, and it's now Fat Jack's Barbecue in Williamstown.
Well, congratulations.
Congratulations. Thank
you. And we're doing, you know, a little slow right now, but generally, I got to tell you, you know, it's probably a C location on the scale of A and B, but people are just really starting to find out that we're there.
It takes a while.
Yeah, it does. It's a little off the beaten path, but the deal was so good, I had to take a chance.
Yeah.
You know, I really did have to take a chance.
And I think with big events coming up, unfortunately it's not the Eagles, it would have been even bigger event, but things like the big game are coming,
right.
And that's when people really go all out. The parties, I know you go all out as well,
yeah,
Don.
Yeah.
And listen to this. I'll announce it for Glenn. I'll give him a free advertisement, because that's the kind of guy that I am.
Just make sure you get it right.
On the big game, special deal, 65-cent wings from open till they run out. Best price in South Jersey, minimum 20. Extra wings, increments of 10s. 65-cent wings!
Right on. You know, everybody says I'm nuts. Really.
Best sort of like Crazy Eddie.
Yeah, kind of. Yeah, come in, get your wings right now, 65 cents. As many as you want, done. Seriously, think about it for a minute. What happens with Super Bowl and wings?
People troll.
I'm sorry, that's what I said, the big game. really, what happens is people, they get deals, but they don't get deals like this. You'll get 10 wings, 8, 10, 12 bucks, whatever it is. We just decided, I really want to drive some traffic to the restaurant. And I said, you know, 65 cents, we're probably going to wind up doing them all weekend, Saturday and Sunday. But I think the reception and the reaction to the 65-cent wings for the big game has been pretty outstanding. I'm really surprised.
And you're changing things up a bit. I mean, you're putting a little flair in the menu that hasn't been in there in the past for people.
Correct.
Who are familiar with the Fat Jack's brand can come into this new location, and you've got new items like brisket tacos with red cabbage slaw, fire-roasted corn and mango salsa on a flour tortilla.
He shoveled down two.
I don't think I breathed in between
them. You sucked it right in. We changed the menu up a little bit. I put some really, I went pound centric really for the bulk of the menu. So you come in, first thing you see on the menu is pounds, and you can buy quarter pounds, half pounds, and we're selling more of that than we are.
But I think that's just the way barbecue restaurants are going.
Yeah.
Now,
Kevin and I took Dorothy and a friend of ours took a ride up to New York probably 7 or 8 months ago. And we did the barbecue tour up there, and they're all pounds.
Yeah.
They're all done by pounds. So we decided let's concentrate on the pounds.
Yeah.
And it's easier that way, because then people get to choose.
I mean, don't get me wrong. I still keep 5 or 6 specialty sandwiches. You know, we have the Notorious Pig, P-I-G. And,
are they sandwiches now or sandwiches still?
I'm sorry, I forgot. They're sandwiches.
I've got to sell his own brand.
I know. Horrible, isn't it? Damn. But, you know, we kept 5 or 6 sandwiches on the menu. I put some pretty nice hot dogs on the menu. I do a Memphis dog, which is...
Well, you always like the good wiener.
Boom, boom, boom. Wait. The show's not over yet. All right?
It gets better?
No, it'll get better. Yeah. As soon as I have an opportunity, he's done. But, and what's funny, in general, we've been around since 92. Fat Jacks. I've got people coming when we opened in Vineland in 92. I've got people coming into this restaurant today that used to come to the Vineland restaurant in 1992. I've got people coming from Philly since we closed the restaurants. I've got people coming from Malvern. About a month ago, I had a crew walk in, 4 or 5 guys. Hey, the Morrisville crew's here.
Oh, that's great.
I was like, wow. Yeah. I am really.
Well,
really,
I mean, you've been at this for a long, long time, Glenn.
Yeah, maybe someday I'll get it right. You know.
And you've built a brand.
Yeah.
Obviously, you're well-known. Food Network, Barbecue Pit Masters, World Food Championship winner. You're on Fox all the darn time. Yeah. I mean, you're stealing microphones out of people's hands. But
that was pretty funny.
We wish you the best of luck. I know everything you brought in studio was fabulous, Glenn.
And it was it was no dog and pony show. I took it right off the line for you guys.
Yeah, I mean, it was great. And we implore everyone to go to 1155 South Black Horse Pike, Williamstown, New Jersey, fatjacks.net if you need some more information. And even if you can't get to the store, you're with all the hip ones.
We do.
Uber Eats, DoorDash, Postmates.
And we have our own online ordering as well.
That's awesome.
So, you know, it's we've taken a step back, looked at what we're doing, and really scaled it back a little bit.
Yeah.
To make it a little easier for us.
Well, I have a feeling you're going to be successful again, and you'll be wearing that crown of Q, that king of Q once again shortly,
Shut
Glenn.
Up.
It was a pleasure having you in, and I'm sure we'd certainly hear more from you throughout the show.
Oh, you will. You know it.
But I'll even give you this much.
Go ahead.
I will let you, after I introduce our next guest, rave as you were raving before the show what you had. And this is Tim Liu, the co-owner of Glue Hospitality. And my goodness gracious, he brought in quite a spread. But before we get to that, I see you itching.
I'm cooling.
Glenn's mouth is open for the mic. Before we get to that, they have the grand opening of Leda and the Swan coming this week. The coming in February of Anejo, which is going to be later February. And they also run Vesper Center City, Vesper Day Club, which is insanely popular. I've heard nothing but great things about that, and Germantown Garden. But let's talk about the little spread that we had, and I'll throw that off to you, Glenn, for about 30 seconds.
Cool. You know, I got to tell you, I generally don't like when people bring in, and I've told you this before, when people bring in fried food. We did Tim brought in a cheesesteak egg roll, a roast pork egg roll.
But it was he, not we.
What?
Lou.
You said we brought in. You didn't have anything.
No, I said he. I said he.
Glenn had the tailor.
I said Tim brought in a roast pork egg roll with a sauce. It was absolutely incredible. It was a very thin, spicy.
Everything's homemade.
It is. And chips and guac and a midnight cake and a cheesesteak. I'm telling you, a cheesesteak egg roll. This, and they're all fried. Homemade. They traveled really, really well, didn't they, guys?
Without Don.
Of course.
It was fabulous.
The chicken tenders were
Were crisp.
They weren't soggy.
But that's the difference between, and we said that before, so when you come and you're thinking chicken tenders, oh, great, they grabbed them out of the frozen bag and threw them in the deep fryer for 2 minutes.
Now, these were scratch.
But let's kick it off to you, Tim. Let's hear what you've got to say about all these rave reviews and what you got going on.
Well, thank you very much for having me. All this food was from Vesper. So our chef there loves to make things from scratch. The chicken tenders have a little rice flour in them. So that's what gives the crisp. Mm-hmm. I do have to say, like I told you guys, I punched the holes in all the to-go containers.
Oh, that was your responsibility.
That was my part in all this.
That was your part.
But, you know, chef.
You didn't punch a hole in the cake.
No.
Wasn't fried, Glenn. Didn't get it.
Could have been.
So our chef, Chino, he always loves the reaction of when people try his food.
What's his name?
Chino. That's more his nickname. Mm-hmm. So he did come from Prime Stash. So he used to be the chef at Prime Staff.
Well, he's doing a heck of a job.
Phenomenal job.
I'll let him know for sure. He'll love to hear that.
So you've got quite the empire growing. You've got to be busier than ever. That's not easy to have two openings, one after another. Usually it's 6 months to a year apart.
Easily.
And we've heard that from many business owners. Like, oh, it's too much to handle. We've got to take our time. But it sounds like you're a man who's up for a challenge.
Yeah, I have to say, my team really helps me out. So the one Leda and Swan is more of a lounge. So we're right behind Raw Sushi in Midtown. So we are more focused with drinks. But then Neho, being the second opening, is actually their third location that we partnered up with from Hell's Kitchen in Tribeca, New York.
And they're insanely popular up
there. Yes, very popular.
Now, so, what is going to be the concept of the lounge? Is it going to be more speakeasy, more entertainment venue?
So there is going to be very focused on live music and cocktails. So a lot of venues have gone larger, or they're in that area are more just bars. And there's, of course, great restaurants in that area. But after you're done your meal, you're either going to just a normal bar. There's not really many cocktail lounges in that area. So I think we're looking to fill that gap for drinks before dinner or after dinner with this lounge.
And what is, I've noticed an uptick in this within the last, I'd say, maybe 5 to 10 years, that this is a continuing trend in all major metropolitan areas. And why is that? Because before, the trend used to be, okay, maybe before we went to the neighborhood bar, pre-gamed, went out to dinner, and then afterwards, it was sports bars were
The top of everything.
Oh, we got to go somewhere where there's 50 televisions and people screaming. That sort of dropped off. Why do you think the culture is leaning more towards what you're going with now?
Well, I think with the demo that we're going after in that area with the higher end restaurants, is people want to be able to talk to each other. So, you know, you don't want to go into this venue with very loud music, not being able to converse. I think that's really, I think, a big focus. I think with the sports bar, I think it's more a casual, where they go to on like routine to watch, you know, their favorite team. With us, it really is more of like that loungy music vibe that isn't really, the music isn't intrusive.
A little more soft-spoken.
It's adding to the ambiance.
A little jazz. Yes.
Now, would you also say, because this is just my 2 cents, and Lord knows it's not worth anything.
Correct.
But would my feeling is when you're going into these sort of venues and that sort of atmosphere, it's a break from the instantaneous grind of social media and our devices pinging, and we're being separated from each other. And now, in my opinion, I think people are coming together and finding, hey, we can talk to people. It's actually nice to talk to people. And these are the establishments that are allowing us to have normal conversation again.
Yeah, for sure. I would agree completely. I think there are a lot of people that have a hard time probably communicating with each other directly outside of social media. And I think a lot of venues have gone towards just, you know, what's the Instagrammable moment?
You know, being in the restaurant business, it's loud, it's brash, it's noisy, and it's chaotic. When Dorothy and I go out, sometimes we just want a little quiet. You know, and she's working in the restaurant too, and it's, you know, by the time you get home, you're frazzled. So if you want to go out, you don't want to go to a sports bar, anything loud. I want a little quiet myself.
And dress up a little bit. And
well, I'm dressed up now. Sweatpants, orange t-shirt.
Well, I knew that you were wearing your best when you had pants on this evening.
You know, I put on a clean t-shirt for you, okay? So you better be honored.
But now, how did the name come about? Where was that brought from?
So Greek mythology was, we actually tapped basically artists in the community to help us curate a story that was very in line with the intimacy of the space. So it was more about basically Greek mythology, Zeus coming down and kind of seducing Leda, which is the girl, and she was the mother of the Greek goddess of love. So basically, we wanted that to portray as like the name for the space being so intimate and being where you could come as a couple, grab a half bottle of wine or a bottle of wine, so that it was not misportrayed, because a lot of our other venues are very loud or more so mass public, I would say, if I'm using that term right. Whereas in, you know, so this was a break, exactly like you said, from what we probably normally do, because ourselves, you know, aging in this market, you know, need that break.
You need somewhere to go after we need the old party.
Exactly. So
let's have a second.
Let me ask you a question. Will you let Derek in?
I'm not gonna stand by the door. So I wouldn't have to be on the hook for that.
So he doesn't have to make those hard decisions.
Yes.
I don't know. I'd have to give some serious thought.
Now, where does the ideas come from for the drink menu? Obviously, in the city of Philadelphia, you have a lot of drinking establishments. People are going to have high expectations, especially in that neighborhood.
Sure. So one of our managers is Ryan Fenton. He actually curated a lot of the drinks. He has worked with various places like Penn Six, Table 95, which is more of a corporate entity. So he has curated a lot of those drinks. We actually do also have drinks that were curated at our other establishment, Germantown Garden, from Lee from Hop Sing. So, you know, we would like to think that they're on par with any craft cocktails in this
city. Oh, without a doubt.
City, so.
And once you have Lee in your back pocket, he's going to make sure that you have some tasty adult beverages for everyone to enjoy. Now, where did Anejo come from? Was it that you went up to New York and this is a spot that you enjoyed going? Friends took you there. They reached out to you. How did that partnership come about?
So funny enough, our new manager that came down from New York for Vesper Center City came from New York clubs, which was In and Out or Up and Down and the 1-0 concept. So he was a GM up there. We brought him down. And when he came down, a few of the New York contingent companies came down to look for spaces. So we had conversations with them about Philadelphia being more of an emerging market, and they 100% agreed. So Anejo has been around since 2012 and was actually created by Angelo Sosa, which was, you know, actually had a lot of different TV appearances. Technically a celebrity chef. So he had created this very blend of new take on traditional Mexican cuisine, also very great tequila drinks. So I actually went up and tried their food, tried their drinks, and I think it's the closest thing I've tried or experienced that is a blend between, I would say, an Elvez and the tequilas in Philadelphia.
Beautiful.
And, you know, I really love both of those concepts, and I really have been partaking in more tequila drinks recently than anything else.
Is this voluntarily or just strictly for business?
A little bit both.
And I would agree with you as well. I mean, many, many moons ago, Philadelphia was mentioned as we were the armpit of the culinary scene.
Correct.
I mean, it truly was. Stephen Starr really was the one who kicked it off, got the ball rolling. But as I mentioned in my Philadelphia Weekly article, Philadelphia is getting accolades from national publications now as being, we were named the best on the East Coast, number one to travel to from National Geographic Traveler. So we are right smack dab in the middle of everyone's eyes, ears, and even stomachs now. So the days of, oh, well, you got to go to New York for that, or you have to go to Washington, D.C. for that.
Not anymore.
Not anymore. So it's a natural fusion, as you said, to come down to Philadelphia. Because Lord knows a lot of these new buildings and condos, and 25% of them is old New Yorkers who are still.
No, you're right.
They're coming in.
Yeah.
Philadelphia is way, way behind. And, well, they were never treated the way they should have been treated with the food scene from way back when.
Yeah.
And now they're starting being recognized as the food destination to come to.
There's been a complete, there's been a complete turnaround in the food world in Philadelphia. Probably in the last 6 to 8 years, I think, maybe 10. Complete turn, you know, where, again, like you said, armpit of the world for food, just totally totally turned around.
Well, I mean, I have to say, the reason for that is, as Tim brought in, who would have thought, as we were saying, roast pork egg rolls, cheesesteak egg rolls, chicken tenders. These are mostly things that you're thinking of quick
serve,
easy,
yeah.
And not having high expectations.
You're not expecting them at a
oily,
Vesper,
soggy.
You come in, It's all from scratch. The sauces are amazing. All of the sides are top-notch quality that you are not expecting. And this, you are a large reason why Philadelphia is exceeding everyone's expectations. And this is now the new normal. And you also, as well, have brought the fun to Philadelphia with destinations like Vesper Day Club. I can't mention the amount of people who have said, hey, we just went there, had an amazing time. And as you said, social media everywhere of what you're doing with the lounge is the complete opposite of what many of your other properties are, because a lot of the other properties are like, it's shown in your face, but that's what people are asking for, demanding, and want. So thank you for what you've put out. Yeah. You've built quite an empire, and I only see continued success for you.
Well, thank you very much. That's great to hear. Some reinforcement on continuing to attempt to get somewhere.
He's like, I'll do it again tomorrow.
You'll keep getting it. You'll keep getting it.
But that was fantastic. And talking about all of these great restaurants in and out of Philadelphia, more than ever, people are turning to their phones and apps and things like that of where should they eat, because it's so complicated and there's so many voices screaming at you. But we have the individual online with us. Who's going to help us with that problem?
Who is that?
And that is Steve. I'm going to get the name wrong, so that hasn't changed, Glenn. Steve Mangano, the founder of Curate app that you can get. And Curate is a wonderful thing to make sure that you're narrowing down your selection to something that is going to be fantastic. How's it going tonight, Steve?
It's going great. Appreciate
Did you get your name right?
Being on the show. Mangano.
It was close.
It was close.
Close.
Wrong still, but.
Now, they consider themselves the Spotify of restaurant search. Why don't you discuss with us why you consider yourself that?
Well, our approach is really kind of a list focused. You know, just like you might have a playlist on Spotify, you know, we felt that really, when you're trying to find a restaurant, what you're typically going to do, if you're going to a city and you maybe your friend was there or from there, you might text that friend and they're going to send you back a list of your favorite places. They're not sending you back star ratings and you know, long reviews. They're not telling you about places that you don't like. What they're focused on is, you know, here's the five great places to go to. Here's where you go for great pizza. And so we kind of just took that approach, made it more intimate, put it with all the bells and whistles of an app, and really just try to streamline that process for our users.
Now, with that, it sounds like the users are very in tune to what they want, and they're extremely informed. Can the users make and share lists?
Exactly. So anyone should download the app, create their list of favorite places, and share that amongst their friends. So whether it's in the city that they're in, and so some people, obviously they're more intimate with the city they live in, so they might have, here's my favorite brunch spots or breakfast spots or where to go, my top 10 pizza places, or it could be a city they travel to and just have a list for that city. So, and we encourage users to be creative and really have fun with it.
And how is it, what is the process for people to be featured as a Cure Eater / influencer?
So, you know, anyone can create a list, as I said. And then we have a few folks that are, we call curators. Typically, they're in the culinary industry. But there's others that might be, you know, have a wide audience. So what they do is they create a list. They create multiple lists. They share pictures and photos like you might on Instagram. And then we'll identify those folks and give them a slightly higher profile within the app.
That's awesome. And are you nationwide, international? What's your market?
We are nationwide. So, yeah, so I live and we're based out of Raleigh, North Carolina. So I would say we have a larger footprint in the Southeast, but we're growing. And we have kind of curators and users throughout the country. We have prominent chefs like a Dominique Crenn or Barbara Lynch or Ashley Christensen in there. And then we have others, you know, kind of throughout the nation.
Awesome. Now, what is the process that someone would go through say I'm on the app and my favorite restaurant that I love and I want everybody to find out about is not in Curate, what do I have to do?
So, yeah, so one, hopefully it's there. So you're making your list and adding that. But if it's not, the app will just prompt you to let us know. And usually we add it, you know, within a few hours or 24 hours, and we'll let you know it's added, and then you add it to your list. So really simple, clean process. But we try to have, you know, most restaurants on there, but continue to grow as our users want to add new places.
That's amazing. So obviously it sounds like this is an app that's easy to use. Nationwide, is friendly to make sure that everyone's not eating at those chains to get the independents a little bit more exposure. So what's next for Curate? What can we expect?
Well, you know, one of the things we want to do is keep it positive, right? So that's key to us, that we're not, you know, you can't hijack a review, put a negative review. And then what's next is really we're going to put some enhancements on kind of the photo sharing, the discovery pieces of things. And then also we're partnering with, you know, various local magazines and local entities. So when they're highlighting their best of list, we're intimately connecting with them and making that happen for the local user to really give you that local experience no matter where you're traveling.
Steve, what's the website again?
It's an app.
An app. So I'm sorry.
It's CureEatApp.com. So CureEatApp.com. Gotcha. And there's, you know, content there. We have articles. And then you can download from the App Store or from Google Play.
Now, this is just me. I'm thinking about your business model. And if this idea works through, I'll be happy to take 10% of all proceeds. What about the process of not only having your restaurants listed, but having it that you can have the food delivered to you if need be through your app?
Yeah, that is phenomenal. What we try to do, so like on the reservation side, we integrate with OpenTable. So if you're trying to make a reservation and that restaurant uses OpenTable, you can do it directly through our app. So that, I think that's how we would envision the delivery side, is connect with an Uber Eats or any of the other delivery app, DoorDash or what have you.
Yeah, well, you've got to do that yourself. You don't want the middleman taking that cut of your money.
Yeah, that's 10%.
But
logistics are down. The last mile, you know.
Yeah, you're not kidding. So what is your number one listing on the app?
My favorite restaurant.
Yeah. I'm sure you're probably the number one curator influencer, I would hope.
Well, there's a restaurant here in Raleigh called Crawford & Son that I absolutely love. But since maybe a lot of your audience is in Philadelphia, you know, I can't say enough about Zahav and a great, you know, roast pork at, what is it, John's.
Well, I'm going to give you two more in Philadelphia. You're going to have Anejo and Vesper and Fat Jack's Barbecue as well in New Jersey. So we'll get you all covered. We're all going to sign up for the app and make our own little profiles. But it was such a pleasure talking to you, Steve.
That'd be great.
Thank you so much for calling in. We wish you the best of luck. I think this app is wonderful, and everyone to go and sign up for it. Share us any social medias or anything like that before you go.
Will do. Thanks, sir. Appreciate it.
All right. Have yourself a great night. Bye-bye.
That sounds good.
Yeah, I think it's good to have an app that's a positive on the restaurant scene instead of having somebody, because they had a bad day, the food.
Some of them sites are just terrible. Yeah. But I'm going to tell you something that isn't terrible, and that is someone who used to be an international beauty model. And no, it's not Glenn. Sorry to break it, Glenn. I know you think of yourself as that.
I do.
You do.
Thank you very much.
And
it's certainly not you.
She has changed careers,
it
and now she is an acclaimed pastry chef. And her name is Clarice Lamb, and she is the owner of the online oven-to-door bakery, The Baking Bean. How's it going tonight, Clarice?
Hi, guys. How are you? I'm great.
Hello. Hey,
we are doing great. So you started out as an international model. That had to be quite exciting. Been flying off to all different countries of the world, having all of the designers make special outfits and things like that. How is it that you went from that to becoming a pastry chef? Because you went from one end of everybody looking at you to now being hidden behind closed doors for the most part.
Hiding in the kitchen from everyone. Yeah, pretty much. Well, because when I was traveling so much as a model, I didn't ever know anyone in the places that I'd moved to. I didn't know how to speak the languages yet. So the only thing I knew how to do was eat and kind of study the food. And then when I did make friends, everything kind of centered around like dinner parties and, you know, meeting their friends and then meeting their family. And just, I just realized that food was just so important to every culture and every country that I've ever been to. And that intrigued me a lot. And then I just kind of studied more food. So every place I moved, that was the way that I immersed myself into the culture.
Now traveling.
And then I decided I was going to become a chef.
That's awesome. Now traveling internationally, where was the favorite region or area that you would always look forward to visiting strictly because of the food, not because it was a great paying gig or was some designer that you were hoping to work with, that when you saw that assignment, you said, oh, good Lord, I'm going to be eating well?
I mean, it's always going to be Paris always has a special place in my heart, mostly because that was a city that kind of changed my mind from initially I wanted to be a savory chef.
And you can't go wrong in Paris.
You can't go wrong in Paris, you know? And then I moved to Paris and I was like, oh my God, these tastes, everything is so beautiful and everything also tasted good. And it kind of allowed me to explore my creative side and also my technical side at the same time. So for me, it's always going to be Paris. I always want to go back to Paris.
What was your favorite pastry in Paris?
I always just want a great croissant.
And the bread, yeah. The bread in Paris. Oh my goodness!
Yep, and the bread and the butter.
Wait. How is it with bread and butter and croissants? How are you a model and how hold your weight?
That's an industry secret, Glenn. Industry secret.
It's a secret. It's an ancient Chinese secret.
Now,
really, like. It sounds super cliche, but I really did have a very, very, very high metabolism back then. Right now, it's a different story.
So when was once you switched professions, how is it that you knew you wanted to be a pastry chef out of all of the positions that you could have gone into?
Well, most of it had to do with the pastries and desserts that I saw in Paris. I was just really fascinated by the construction and the technicality and the beauty and also the deliciousness. But then I had also done a couple of like stages in savory kitchens in London, and I was like, man, this sucks. Like it was a million degrees. I was surrounded by all these like dudes that were just pissed off all the time. And like then I like,
that
I
was the least of their problems, wasn't it?
Yeah, exactly. I noticed in the corner, you know, that's like where the pastry department is always like in the corner. It's a lot cooler, like colder in temperature. Everyone's kind of quiet. Everyone kind of keeps to themselves.
You're like, I think I want to go join the pastry crew.
Yeah, I was like, oh, maybe I'll just go hang out over there for a while.
So you went over there. Yeah, you were hanging out with the cool kids with the pastry crew.
Literally.
And then you started to lead some impressive kitchens. And you broke off to launch the Baking Bean. That had to be terrifying in its own. Why did you want to launch your own brand? Because there's security in the places that you were leading. Good benefits, I'm sure. The pay was top dollar. Uh-huh. You were working at some of the top of the top institutions. So to go from that to say, you know what? I'm going to do this on my own.
Yeah, I actually didn't. I never thought about going out on my own. It was actually per a lot of my friends' suggestions that I do something.
Peer
on my
pressure.
Own.
So you are easily influenced with peer pressure.
Well, but, you know, I had one, you know, one of my friends was just kind of like starting out on her own, you know, PR thing. And she was like, "Can you just do me a favor and kind of try to, you know, make up your own menu. If you had your own business, what would you do? What would you make? What would your menu look like? Can you just make me like 10 sample boxes and I'm just going to send it out to people and see what the reaction is." At that time, I was still working in the chocolate room and I didn't, it wasn't so terrifying for me because I didn't initially take it so seriously.
Yeah.
You know, I wasn't like, "Oh, I'm going to go leave everybody and just start my own thing."
Yeah, you were just like, it was a side gig for a friend. It was a side gig for a friend and you were just helping them out.
It was like a side project and like, right, and like, "Oh, let's see what happens." So,
and lo and behold,
yeah. And I was like, "Oh, okay, I guess I have to do this now."
Now you're like, "Well, it went from a side business to I'm just a little too busy now." So tell us, fast forward, all about the baking bean. What is the baking bean? What is the best seller that you have? The whole process. Tell us all about it.
So the baking bean is, I like to call it an oven-to-door bakery. We're based out of Brooklyn, New York, meaning that we make everything fresh to order. Nothing ever stays frozen. When we get an order, we make it fresh, and then it gets delivered to you, so you get the best possible quality ever. And we use all natural ingredients. My style is kind of like refining the unrefined, so I like to use a lot of influences and flavor profiles from my travels, and kind of turn them into something that is a little more maybe like approachable or just a different version of it.
Awesome.
To eat. Yeah, and then I'm also influenced by things that I crave from like when I was a kid.
So what would you say is your signature? What is your signature item, and what is your best seller?
Signature and bestseller are probably the same at this point. I feel like every year it might be a little bit different, but right now for sure we're the most known for our giant s'mores.
Ooh.
So we make our own graham crackers, and it's a 3x3-inch square, and it's about an inch and a half thick. We make these giant our house-made marshmallow patties. We temper and sheet our own chocolate, and in the holiday season, like fall, winter, we have pop-ups where we make the giant s'mores fresh.
That sounds fantastic. Man, you just said, how about that, Girl Scouts? Take that to the campfire. Boom.
Exactly.
Hey, here you go.
That sounds wonderful. So, yeah, I love s'mores, and that sounds like a wonderful
creation. I don't think I've ever had a s'more.
What, Glenn?
I don't think I've ever had a s'more.
I'm not even going to comment on that, Glenn. You've been a sheltered child your entire life. Don, you've had a s'more, correct?
I had plenty of s'mores. But
how about you, Tim?
Yeah, 100 of them.
Yeah. We'll skip that subject for another day. So we're going to get back to the baking bean. What is the one product that you wish you could make and give to people, but doesn't ship well? Is there one?
Ice cream.
Oh, you make good
ice cream. That's my favorite. That's my favorite thing to also eat.
Found my weakness.
Ice cream. I love eating ice cream.
S'mores and ice cream.
My own. Yeah.
My. I hope my wife isn't listening.
I would love to get more into ice cream.
So what is your favorite concoction of making ice cream? Is it just like a crazy off-the-wall flavor or just a really good like vanilla made with real Madagascar vanilla beans?
No, my favorite is Rocky Road. It's pretty easy.
Oh, yeah, that's
but
good.
I like it. Okay, so I want it to have a marshmallow ribbon and not just marshmallows.
I see a theme with marshmallows.
Yeah, so do I.
I do.
Yeah. Also almonds and not peanuts, because I don't like it when... Sometimes, like, old-school Rocky Road people love to make it with peanuts, but I don't like that. It needs to be almonds.
Well, I'm going to let you know, you've just almost moved to the top of my most favorite people list.
She's at the top of mine.
This is fantastic. But I want everyone listening, go for themselves to find out more about the baking bean. It has been such a pleasure talking to you. Pastry chef Clarice Lamb, do you want to share any social medias, websites, or anything like that before you go?
Of course. It's www.bakingbean.com. You can follow us on social media at The Baking Bean. You could follow me personally at Chef Clarice Lamb. C-L-A-R-I-C-E-L-A-M. And thank you guys so much for having me on.
It was our pleasure. Have yourself a great night.
Take care.
Thank you. You too.
Take care.
And How about that? How about at Vesper?
Yeah.
A big fancy s'more like that with sparklers and champagne.
Right, but you have to, when he does it, he has to invite us all over for a taste test.
That'll be your first one.
Three times.
I may have had one before. I don't know.
Oh, you would remember if you had a s'more. But
even a bad s'more is a good s'more.
Really? S'more?
S'more, please. I'll take some s'more. But we're going to have some s'more guests to talk to, and that would be the wonderful best-selling author and creator of the popular blog InstantLoss.com, Brittany Williams. And she is back and better than ever with the new book, Instant Loss, Eat Real, Lose Weight, How She Lost 125 Pounds.
Wow.
How's it going tonight, Brittany?
I'm doing great. How are you?
We are doing great as well. It is such a pleasure to talk to you. This book has been the talk of the town. The Today Show, Good Housekeeping, People Magazine. I mean, what a story and inspiration.
And now you've hit the big time.
Oh, yes. Talking to us. only bigger things to go from here. But the book is wonderful. So why don't you tell us a little bit about your story and this incredible journey of how you lost 125 pounds.
Sure. So I was a serial dieter for most of my life. I was obese as a kid, and as I reached early adulthood, hit morbidly obese. And I was always doing this yo-yo diet thing, which I think that a lot of people do. You start the newest fad thing. You maybe are on board for like 5 days, the weekend hits, and then it's like, oh no, I messed up. Okay, I'll just start again next Monday. And I did this thing for 15 years and nothing ever worked. And I ended up gaining more weight and putting more on. And then I had babies. And so finally I just decided I was going to ditch the diet. I was going to stop trying to diet. Because generally, I think most of us know how to eat well. We learn about that food pyramid way back in school. And if we just keep things real and keep the processed foods to a minimum, I think that that would solve most of our issues, especially this obesity epidemic that we have on our hands. You know, just cut out a little bit of the sugar, cut out the processed stuff, keep it real. And that's what I decided to do. And I ended up losing 125 pounds within a year. I mean, that's the oversimplified version, but that's the gist of it.
I mean, and that's amazing. And just the amount of body transformation, emotional changes that you had to go through, because I've heard stories from individuals who have had drastic weight loss, and we all think, oh, that must be great. Oh, you've got a new wardrobe. You've got this. People are paying attention to you. But I've heard a darker side where sometimes it causes a depression in individuals, where this newfound attention and focus to them, where before sometimes the individual was in the shadows or not being looked at, and it's troublesome for them. Did you find any of that in your journey, or was it mostly positive?
Generally, it was really positive. And it was kind of funny. I always had a lot of self-confidence and a lot of self-love. So that wasn't ever something that I struggled with personally. When I was big, I still thought that I looked great. I was just bigger. And now I'm smaller. I still think that I look great. It's just I'm a little bit, you know, my size has changed. But I didn't really struggle with depression. I did before when I was overweight. I struggled with depression off and on and anxiety. And I found that a lot of times that was food related, that I could chalk it up generally to the things that I was eating, because when my diet improved, my anxiety improved, my depression improved, my autoimmune disease went into remission, and I experienced all these great health benefits. Look-wise, I was on the receiving end of a little bit more attention, and especially now with the cookbooks blowing up, and I have lots and lots of before and afters, and so people always tell me, you look so great. But I made a post the other day on my Instagram account, I'm Instant Loss on Instagram, and I talked about a lot of people feel like when I post before and afters, or when other people post before and afters, that you're saying, like, not worthy, worthy, ugly, pretty. And that's not how I ever looked at myself before. I still felt great. I still felt like I, you know, could rule the world. Because I've always had, like I said, that built-in self-confidence. But the only difference now is that I'm healthier. And yeah. So that's really what I want people to see. I don't want people to go, oh my gosh, you look so much prettier now. I don't want it to be about that at all. I just want it to be about health.
And I think you've done a wonderful job with that message that instant loss is truly not a diet. You've shown that it works, and that if you dig deep into it, it's a lifestyle change and a way to rethink healthy eating. And you created the instant loss community, and the impact that your followers have seen, not only from the changes in your life, but you have made on theirs as well, that's just got to be the greatest feeling in the world.
It's the best ever. I get messages every day. A lady just posted in our community yesterday that her husband reversed his type 2 diabetes just following the meal plan and the recipes and the philosophies that I have in the book. And that's what I tell people. Like, I'm not doing my job very well as a motivator, as an encourager, if I don't give you the tools to take this and run with it. Like, you don't have to use my recipes. I would love it if you would. People love them, but you don't have to use them. These are simple principles that you can apply to your life, and you can have the same kind of success using anybody's recipes, eating out at a restaurant, going to a friend's house. And that's the mark that I'm doing my job well, is if you can go anywhere and experience that freedom.
Yeah, without a doubt. I mean, you have shown that ditch the diet. Your personal advice is on portion control, tackling those addictive behaviors, knowing what to buy at grocery stores. And when you go out, like you're saying, to know what to eat at events and gatherings and restaurants when you're at friends, you don't have to cut back on your social life or anything like that. And just in your own personal life, you have 3 beautiful children, a busy life, and knowing that you have that and others have that, it's not easy. And you developed within this cookbook easy, simple, and fast recipes, and how most of these can be made in under 30 minutes. It's amazing.
Thank you. Yeah, I put a lot of time into it, because I know that was one of my biggest complaints, was that I don't have time to make these meals, or these meals aren't practical for a family. Like, sure, I could make myself these things and maybe lose a little bit of weight, but I'm also then having to make a second dinner for my kids and maybe something else for my husband, and that's not sustainable long term. So that's the whole focus of Instant Loss. It's long term sustainability, and it's a way of eating that your entire family can enjoy.
Without a doubt. And Instant Loss is about maintaining a lifestyle and feeling empowered to take charge of one's life. And you are the perfect example. I love that you are leading the charge and helping an entire community. I want everyone to go out and purchase the book. The recipes in there are wonderful, practical, easy to make. I can tell with the pictures and the time that you've put in, it was a passion project for you and personal in nature. But I want to thank you for joining us, and feel free to share any social medias, websites, or anything like that before you go.
Thank you so much for having me. You can find more on me on instantloss.com. You can also visit me on Instagram or Facebook, just /instantloss. And you can find Instant Loss Eat Real Lose Weight at your local bookseller, at Walmart, Costco, Target, or of course on Amazon.com.
Perfect. Thank you so much. It was we really appreciate you joining us.
Take it easy.
I could appreciate her cookbook.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah.
I mean, especially the 30 minutes, because a lot of it, it's like, absolutely. Oh, yeah, I want to eat healthy, but then you're like, I got to chop up these million ingredients.
Guys, just so you know, I lost.
You're not an international beauty model?
Why not? No, I lost 160 pounds. Yeah, she moved to Florida.
He's not a comedian either.
Oh, that was good.
That's why we still have Jackie the Joke Man on the show.
Look, I can't compare to Jackie, but, you know, I thought that was pretty good.
So, this was fun, gentlemen. I really had a lot of fun. Did you enjoy yourself, Tim?
I did. It was great. Thank you very much. You guys are hilarious.
Well, I'm glad someone finds this entertaining.
Oh, well, yeah.
We've got one fan.
Where? Is he listening?
That's the true question. But now, Vesper. Opening day. Well, there's two Vespers. Vesper Day Club and Center City. Obviously, the Vesper Day Club is mostly a pool-related project. When do we kick the pool activities back up?
May 1st will be, the pool will be back in full swing. Weather will be the dependent aspect if you want to come.
May 2nd is my birthday, so I might have to come the next day.
Please don't come in a bikini.
No.
Oh, I'm going to start reading that book by then. You never know.
Never know.
I'm going to make sure I'm on vacation.
Hey, he fits right in.
So you've run the day club for how long now?
Basically 3 years right now. So,
and that's running a pool has to be challenging at times, because alcohol and water usually don't mix well.
I'll knock on wood. We haven't had any incidents on that aspect yet.
It's still early.
There's still a chance. But with that, congratulations, as we were saying to you before. Northern Liberties was one of the areas in Philadelphia that had a bad rap for many years. And now it's one of the hippest areas in town.
Hippies?
Hip hop hooray.
You still can't get it right.
But what do you imagine, any changes of this upcoming season? Do you try to keep each season different, fresh?
I think we spent some time getting to the actual model, which is, you know, we want it to be escape for people from Philadelphia and the surrounding areas without having to drive an hour and a half to get to shore.
Is it truly full membership, or is there day passes available as well?
It is really, I mean, the membership is really kind of just like almost like a season pass.
Okay.
So when you get a membership, it's actually free. Yeah, there's an activation fee just because there is a lot of admin to do the whole process.
Right?
Well, it's $39.
It's all in the advertising speak.
Yeah. Yes. But that'll give you free weekday access.
Oh, cool.
So, you know, you can come by whenever, even off of work, it's still nice out. You can stop by the pool. You know?
If I bring ribs, do I get in?
Now, personally, where is your favorite place in Philadelphia to go when you're not at work or any of your restaurants?
I would have to say, you know, I really do love eating. So I like, you know, I have to say I like the variety of different food. So, you know, I have a few favorites, and I just... You know, I
hurry up. We got a minute left.
I don't have. I can't say it's one.
Okay,
you
name three. Yeah. Name three.
Yeah, I actually like. There's Giuseppe Trattoria by my house. Actually, that is always phenomenal Italian food. The other one is, you know, I can't say enough about Raw. I've been eating there since we started this new project. Probably every lunch is either ramen or sushi. But, you know, other than that, I do love also, you know, the small delis. So there's this Bill's Deli that is, I never knew was there. And, you know, I have to say, like, just a good sandwich sometimes is...
Hit the spot.
Yeah, it's a spot. It's fast. You know,
and it's so. In the water for the bread. That's what is the secret in Philadelphia.
That's right. That's right.
Well, we had a bread expert, Daniel Leader, and he said that we were full of...
Really?
In the water. But wasn't that true, Don?
Have you had him back since or what?
Yeah. I'll take his word for it. But, Glenn, great seeing you as,
same here,
as
same
well.
Here.
Thank you for everything.
Yeah. Absolutely. Pat Jackson, Williamstown.
We were going to get to that.
Well, never mind. I'll take it back.
You're very fast. You'll get your 10 seconds. But, Tim, thank you for everything that you brought in as well. I only see continued success for your endeavors. The portfolio is growing, and Philadelphia is your oyster, my sir.
Oh, thank you very much. Thank you, guys.
No problem. I'm going to give 10 seconds. Go around, say whatever you want to plug, name, website, whatever, and we'll start with you, Tim.
Go and really look at Chef Chino on the Instagram. He does not like to be in the limelight, so it's enjoyable for me to point that out. But he does love seeing people's reactions when they eat his food, which is a great pleasure to help bring to consumers. And then check us out at Glue Hospitality. That's glue without the E.
Awesome.
So. I can say anything I want. Derek, I think you're really cute. Okay.
Well, that hasn't changed.
No, yes, it has. Anyway, fatjacks.net, Fatjacks in Williamstown. We've been open 3.5 months. Come on down. Super Bowl 65 cent wings.
Awesome.
B&L Coffee Service, being a barista. Find us on Facebook. That's it.
Awesome.
Real quick, easy.
I'm Derek Tim of BlueJeanFood.com. We had ourselves a wonderful show. We opened it up with John Howard Fusco, as usual, giving us all the news. We had Steve of Curate App. Go get that. Pastry chef Clarice Lamb. And last but certainly not least, best-selling author Brittany Williams. This is Small Bites Radio, live on Sunday, 6:35 p.m., Wildfire Radio. Catch us the following day on all of your Apple products on iTunes. And we're also syndicated on many AM radio stations. Google will find out because there's too many for me to mention. And we end the show like we always do with a joke of the week from the legendary joke teller who will be at the Newtown Theater, I forgot to add, February 1st.
Oh,
so
cool.
Go make sure you go see him and tell him Small Bites sent you. We end with the show of Jackie the Joke Man Martling.
Hi, I'm Jackie Martling for Small Bites. A guy's packing for a business trip and his 3-year-old daughter's having a great time playing on the bed. She says, "Daddy, look!" And she sticks out two of her fingers. He leans over, sticks her tiny fingers in his mouth and says, "Daddy's gonna eat your fingers." And he pretends to eat them. And then he goes back to packing. He looks up again and his daughter's standing on the bed staring at her fingers and she's so disappointed. He says, "What's the matter, honey?" She says, "What happened to my booger?" A booger. This is nothing like a booger joke.